Played that game because sometimes it's hard to follow someone, and maybe you didn't hear what I was saying, or it was confusing with all the motions. But with the game, Simon Says, hey, everyone be quiet, okay, thank you. Oh, I forgot my clicker, I'm gonna go grab it. But with the game, Simon Says, I purposely tried to confuse you all. But that's not the case with Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. Jesus doesn't try to make it hard for us to follow him. But even though Jesus makes his expectations clear in his word, and he gives us the strength to follow him, it is still difficult to follow him. And so the passage that I'm dealing with is Ephesians 5, 1-2. I'll read it, and then we'll pray real quick. Okay, ready? Ephesians 5, 1-2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for today, and just thank you for this great week of EBS, and I'm thankful for all the families and the kids just here today, and all their lives that are, I don't even know a part of their lives, but you know them, and you know how you're working in their lives, Lord. And I pray that this message today, just from your word, would be an encouragement to people as we all try to follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to recap, actually, from last time I preached. So last time I preached was in Ephesians 4, and it was the principle of putting off and put on. And this principle ties into the message today, which is why I'm recapping it. And I love this principle because it's found throughout the Bible. And basically, it's when you have your new life in Christ, God calls us to put off some stuff in our life, put off sinful ways of handling life that we used to do, and put on new things. And title of my message last time was How to Grow, 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 from the song, you know, that all the kids like to sing. But there's a lot of stuff in our lives that prevent us from reading our Bible and praying every day. Like, it's different from everybody. But there's a lot of stuff in our lives that we could think about that prevent us from growing. And God wants us to slowly, you know, process. It's not going to happen overnight, just like a tree may not grow overnight. But he wants us to grow and follow after him by putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And so later on in the passage in Ephesians 4, it just actually gives specific examples like don't steal, but rather be someone who's giving and hardworking to other, and also talks about using your language or your communication to edify people. So it just gives all these different examples in Ephesians 4. But now in Ephesians 5, it kind of ties it up again, and it not quite a conclusion, but it's just another angle of that principle, putting off and putting on. And the first thing that it deals with is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? If this will work. That's okay. Brother Phil's gonna do the next slide. And so this is what Ephesians 5 talks about. You can see it there in the verse. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And I thought this was such a good verse because there's literally like 50% of us are children in here. So hopefully there's application to you all. But what does it mean to follow someone? To follow someone means you're copying someone, you know, like monkey say, monkey do, stuff like that. And for that, I'm going to have some kids come up here because I know I can sense you're all getting restless already. So I'm going to have Brenna and then two other people. Let's see. I have an older kid. Well, Forrest, since you did do good in the Simon Says. And anybody else? Okay, yeah, you want to do it? Okay, so following is hard, right? That's what I was trying to say. So I'm going to have, I'm going to give you this. Somebody moved my balloons. This week, We had a lot of animal balloons. Probably the most I made in one day. I don't know. But you're all going to learn how to make a sword super quick, okay? So this is a sword. Okay, ready? And if you mess up, it's fine, because that's part of the example, honestly. So, okay, ready? So to make a sword, you pump up the balloon and you tie it, right? Then the next thing you do is you make a little twist, like this. You make a twist, and you make a little, kind of like a little sphere. Twist it. Yeah, just like that, and you have to hold it there. Yeah. Okay. And then you got your little bubble. Got your little bubble. Oh, do it on the other end. Here, I'm going to stand right here so you can see it. Yeah, you got your bubble. Okay, then you make a little loop. Ready? Like this. And this loop has to be big enough so you can put the sword in it. So don't make it too small. But if you make it too big, then it'll fall out. Here, I'll help you. Oh, yeah, no worries. So make a bubble here. And then you twist it. Gonna twist it. Here, just hold it like this. You hold it like that. And then you make a loop. Yeah, just like that. And then you twist these two together. You got it? Gonna twist it. All right, go like this. Here, twist these together. Twist it. Twist it. There we go. Just like this. Yeah. Hey, you got it. Hey, you got it too. Okay. Now we're just waiting. Don't worry. There we go. It's scary too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, last step. You just put this in the loop. There you go. Oh, not all the way. Do it again. This way. You gotta leave the handle there, right? It's hard, huh? Like that. There you go. Okay, you guys gotta keep your balloons. You can sit down. Very good job. You want a sword? Okay. Go ahead. Oh, that's yours. Anyway, making balloons hard. That's all I wanted to show. And it seems easy, but it's difficult sometimes. But the thing I like about kids, though, is they're willing to try, even if they've never done it before. And even though it's scary, like the balloon might pop or something like that. She's fine. She's cute. So she has an excuse, right? But even though the balloon might pop on you, or you might be embarrassed because everyone's watching you do it, like, I like how kids are willing to try. And that's kind of, in my mind, what this verse is talking about. It says, be followers of God as dear children. Like, children mess up a lot, you know? When they're little, they are crawling, and they're destroying stuff, and they're going all over the place, and it takes them about like a year and a half, or I don't know, I don't never had kids, but maybe it takes them a year before they walk, and I don't even know how long it takes for them to talk, but what do children do to learn is they mimic people, you know, they mimic what you say, they babble, they make up words, and they just keep trying and trying and trying until they could follow. And so part of that is what I believe it means to follow Jesus, and that's what it says in this verse, be followers of God as dear children. So we even have something to learn from the kids in this room. But the next thing is, why should we follow Jesus? And like I said before, it's hard. Even though God makes it clear, it is hard to follow Jesus because Jesus is perfect. And how do you follow after perfection? Like, that's super difficult. And I like Brother Bruce's game about, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, it was Miss the Mark. And he had different circles with different ticket numbers on it, and the circle for like one ticket was this big, but the circle for 10 tickets was like this big, and it was like all the way across the parking lot. Well, anyway, it was far away. And he was having the kids throw a penny into the little circles. And each time, all the kids maybe made the one ticket circle, and maybe one kid made the like three ticket circle, but nobody made the 5 or the 10. And he was trying to illustrate how everything we do misses the mark. We aren't perfect, and that's why we need Christ. And so we should follow Jesus because he gave us a new life. He's the one that enables us to live a new life that pleases God. And really quick, I don't want to take for granted that everybody here knows what that means to have a new life in God. And so I'm just going to read what we read for the kids. This is the ABCs of how you could know how to become a child of God. And so the first thing that we told the kids was admit that you're a sinner. And it says, we are all sinners and we all do wrong things. And that's, but God is perfect and he must punish sin. And we cannot get to heaven by trying to be good. So God showed us his love by sending his son, Jesus, to die for us. And then it has verses, but I won't read them all today. And then B is believe who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Jesus is God's son who came to earth and was the only one ever to live a perfect life. He died on the cross to take the punishment for sin. He was buried and rose from the dead. God promises eternal life to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one is C, choose to trust in Jesus. Believe that Jesus, God's son, took the punishment for your sin. Trust Jesus as your savior, knowing that he is the only way you can have your sin forgiven and become a child of God. And that's what it means to become a child of God. And if you don't know that tonight, I would definitely recommend just talk to someone about how you can be a child of God. But the message today is after that. Like, so once you're saved, how do you follow Jesus is a question we could all be thinking about. And so our new life in Christ, it means that we're no longer serving sin. So when we were dead in our sins, when we didn't know God, it wasn't even possible for us to live a life that made God happy, that pleased God. And I just wanted to read some verses about that because, again, this theme that having an old life that's now new and having a new life that can now please God is found throughout the Bible. And so we are able to give, we have this ability to enjoy our new life once we are saved. And so in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10, it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. While we were once in darkness, now we are in light. And in Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. And so our old lives, we used to serve sin. We used to be against God. But in our new life in him, we could serve God. And in Ephesians 2:2-5, I also wanted to read this verse because when Paul wrote this letter in Ephesians, he assumed they read the whole book, the whole letter. And so they would have had this verse in mind too. And that's Ephesians 2:2-5, which reads, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved.
Amen.
You're saved. And so I think these verses are just, I just think it's amazing how God, when he says something important, he reiterates it throughout different books and throughout different letters. And he really wants us to realize that we have a new life in him. And so This is what the second verse in this passage talks about. So in Ephesians 5:2, it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And so, briefly, I wanted to explain savor just in case it went over someone's head. So in the Old Testament, there's a lot of sacrifices, I'm sure you know of that, so a lot of animals had to die and were burnt as a burnt sacrifice to God. And that was God's way of, that was the people's way to show that they had faith in God, that they were trusting God to get rid of their sins, that they knew they were sinners. But it was all pointing to the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And so I think it's cool that they use this terminology of being a sweet-smelling savor because it ties in all these different themes of the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament and Jesus being the final perfect sacrifice in the New Testament. And likewise, it says that we can live a life that is pleasing to God, just as Jesus was pleasing to God when he died on the cross for us. And let me get something behind here too. So our life, according to this verse, could either be a sweet-smelling savor, and I have here an apple, blissful apple cinnamon scent, or I have the trash from the Sunday school rooms here too. Ew, right? Thankfully, it's double bagged. So our lives could either be a sweet-smelling savor, and of course, it's not quite what the Bible is thinking about. It probably wasn't thinking about blissful apple cinnamon. But God is saying that our lives could be a sweet-smelling savor, or our lives could be the opposite, right? You're right. And we don't want our lives, when God looks at us, we don't want him to see this, right? We don't want our lives to be a stench or repulsive to God. So in order to live a life that is pleasing to God, the next point is, how do we follow Jesus? So if following Jesus is pleasing to God, and if following Jesus is what we should strive for, how do we follow Jesus? And so this is where everything ties in together from last message I preached. And so we follow Jesus by learning to put off selfish ways of living and putting on selfless love for other people. And it's natural for us to think about ourselves. I think, if we want to be honest, I think we see this a lot in kids, right? I don't know if you kids agree or not, but we see selfishness a lot in kids. I know a lot of you maybe ask for candy or ask for animal balloons or ask for food or whatever. But that's okay. I know it's expected that you guys are still learning. But at some point, hopefully, we learn to care about other people, right? And that we realize that our lives is not just about ourselves. And so a sign of growing up is when you start to think and care more about other people rather than your own needs. And this can mean maybe asking an animal balloon for your sister instead of for yourself, or maybe you know your dad's favorite candy is Skittles or something, so you give your dad your candy instead of taking it for yourself. But just little things in our lives that we have to put off our selfish ways of living and think about others. And so what in your life, I know it's personal, but what in your life could be replaced that is a selfish way of living your life that could be replaced with a selfless way of living? And remember, this is pleasing to God. This is Christ's example. Like, Christ laid down his life for us. And the natural thing for us as Christians is to lay down our lives for other people. And so maybe you could use your time for others instead of spending endless time on the internet or TV or whatever. Maybe we could mow somebody's lawn, or maybe we could bake cookies for somebody's birthday, or the list goes on and on. But it's amazing what even how fun and different our life could be once we're living for other people instead of for ourselves. And so this verse, the way how we follow Jesus is by loving other people and walking in love. And love is selfless, as we talked about. And love is also an action. So sometimes people think that love is just a feeling, like, oh, I feel love, and I like this person, and so I'm going to do something nice. But once that feeling's gone, like, I don't care about this person anymore. But sometimes we have to love others even when we don't feel like it anymore. Like, if parents always felt like taking care of their children, they wouldn't always be taken care of, you know? Like, we had to go against our feelings sometimes, even though in our flesh, like, we really don't want to do something. Love decides, you know what? I love this person. I'm still going to do this. And so we can see this in Christ's example in John 3:16. This is one of the most famous verses people know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And so how did God show his love to us? He gave his Son. He did something for us. He had an action of love toward us. And so this is what our Christian life should be. And Jesus says this in John 13:34-35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so the world knows Christ's love through us, and the world knows that we are truly Christians if we show love and selfless love to other people. And I was reminded of just VBS, and it's all on our minds, and there's literally a stage behind me decorated with VBS stuff. And in my mind, this just shows love. The love of this church for the community, of the kids and the parents of this church, and the countless hours of planning and decorating and studying for lessons and buying supplies and even driving to and from church. These were all acts of selfless love to the kids and to everybody here. And for me, that's an encouragement. It's encouragement to see just the love you all have to one another and to the community. And I just wanted to encourage you guys to keep doing that, because it is making a difference, and God is pleased with it. That's the most important thing, that God notices our love to other people. And so with that, I'm going to conclude with 1 John 3:16, and this is such an apt conclusion, and it reads, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I asked Chandler to sing the song, Living for Jesus, because it has such powerful words. And I'm going to read the second verse of that song, because it just capitalizes everything I'm trying to communicate. So if you got nothing, just listen to these verses. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. That's with that, let's pray. Journey, Father, Lord, just thank you for today, and just thank you for this great week and the salvations we had. I believe 21 kids got saved. And I'm just thankful for the love that you show to us and the love that you redeemed us from our sinful lives, and that we're able to now live a new life for you, Lord. And I'm just thankful for how the church this week and this month really has prepared for VBS and just showed love to the kids and the community. And I pray that love will continue, that we would love one another and just think of ways that we could die to self and love other people that you might put in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
close, it's another opportunity. The gospel has been preached and presented. And if you have not trusted the Lord and would like an opportunity to do so, then come forward. I've got someone here that'll pray with you and give you an opportunity to trust Christ. All following somebody.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.
Are you following?
Jesus.
Are you putting off the old man and putting on the new? Wherever you go, Lord, I'll follow. Wherever you lead, I'll go.
No turning back.
Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and I'm thankful that you went to the cross for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Now as we go into the next part of our service tonight, Father, as we fellowship and spend some time together, we ask that each person would be encouraged and lifted up. Help us to encourage one another to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my Lord.